Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
All right, and I am with you today on a crazy, crazy Wednesday with an IV in my arm as we speak. Yes, that's right. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Hope you're having a great day today. A lot to chat about, including obviously Donald Trump's mega press conference yesterday with you. And we will be streaming live on YouTube. However, I'm not going to be on video, just my beautiful headshot. And it is beautiful, is it not? And the reason why is because I'm doing the show today from an undisclosed medical location. Basically, what happened is, you know, I had that my annual surgery every year. I had foot surgery a month ago, December 6th, and then it got infected. Well, it got infected again, and then it got infected again. And then I had to go to the hospital to get IV antibiotics. And tomorrow I have to get surgery. But I just had to sit around all day and wait today. So I was bored and I said, you know what? I'm just going to do the show from my room. That's what I'm doing. That's exactly what I'm doing at the moment right now from an undisclosed medical facility. Bringing you talk radio for the next 4 hours. And we got some great guests ahead, including Andy McCarthy, because they're going to talk about the sentencing in the Trump case and how... Yeah, we're basically still dealing with a situation right now where they are trying to push for Donald Trump to be sentenced. And that is insane. That is insane that that is happening. So I'm just telling you right now that if that goes through, it's purely political just to make Donald Trump the first convicted, quote unquote, felon in American history to become president of the United States. And that's what the Democrats want. That's what they want to do. And it's stuff like that, which is why they are going to lose. And they're going to keep losing. Even John Fetterman, and I'm going to call him Fetterman, because he once again was making sense yesterday on television, talking about a number of things, including the purchase of Greenland. No, we're not going to be invading Greenland, but we're probably going to buy it. There's a lot of strategic reasons why the United States of America has an interest in purchasing Greenland, just like when we bought Alaska. Greenland is rich with minerals, rich with the kind of rare earth minerals we need for everything in a cell phone and a computer and electric cars and chips and all of it. Chips, baby, chips. But also has oil and natural gas and is positioned at a place in the top of the world right now where strategically, militarily speaking, Russia and China are trying to encroach. All right, so that's what we're dealing with right now. All right, we have to... Do you want me to reconnect right now real quick? Matt, can you talk to me for a quick sec?
Yeah,
is it fine?
No, okay, all right. Fine. Yeah, we can live with it for a segment. We'll just reassess things during the break.
All right, very good. All right, we'll do that. Yes, yeah, so basically, here's what happened. The other day, I knew my foot was infected again, and then I started getting chills, and I started getting confused. Now, I'm often confused, as you know. I'm often confused. But I was getting lightheaded, and my foot was in a lot of pain. And then the doctor was like, you probably want to go to the emergency room, because I was on three different courses of antibiotics, and the infection wasn't going away. So I got to the ER, and they said, it's a good thing you're here. Be prepared to stay for a few days. So that was yesterday. So my thanks to Lou Pate for jumping in at the last minute and doing the show. That was yesterday, and they started loading me up with IV antibiotics. And by the end of the day, I felt better. The confusion had gone away. The chills. So the day before, I'd had these crazy chills where I'm never ever cold or hot. I'm never hot. I'm always cold. I'm never ever cold. I'm always running hot. So I was freezing and I could not warm up. I mean, under blankets, hot shower, like nothing. I was just freezing cold. And my wife, who who's always cold. She's like, my wife and kids, Bridget, were like, the house is fine. The temperature is fine. I'm raising the heat in the house, which I never do. I'm putting on sweatshirt after sweatshirt, freezing. And then my foot was hurting like hell. And I said, all right, this is not good. And I was actually texting with Stalker the other day. And he said, dude, you don't want to mess around with this. You could get sepsis. And I didn't know what that was. So I Googled it and I said, well, this isn't good. But those are some of the early signs of it. Confusion, lightheadedness, chills, and pain, and nausea. And I had all those things. So I went to the ER. When I got to the ER, they loaded me up with antibiotics. They did a CAT scan on my foot. And they said that they have to do surgery on me tomorrow. So basically, the guy who's doing the surgery on my foot is this expert in this. They had a different doctor did the original procedure. So just so you know, it was not a Cooper doctor who did the original work on my foot, which is my mistake for not using Cooper. But anyway, the doctor clearly, something went wrong here. They put in an implant in my toe and that got infected. So they have to take it out tomorrow, clean the wound, clean the whole thing out, and then figure out where the infection is, hope it's not in the bone, and then stitch me back up, and then, you know, hopefully I'll be good to go. But I got to stay in the hospital for a couple more days after that because they have to basically to figure out what the infection is. They got to take cultures, and they got to grow them in the lab, and that takes 48 hours. So I'm going to be here until Saturday, maybe Sunday. I could be watching the Eagles game from the hospital room. Hopefully not, but hopefully that's not the case. And it won't be on the air tomorrow because I'm getting surgery tomorrow, and then Friday I'll be recovering. But I really wanted to come on the air today because I love my job. I do, despite all your little jokes about me not working on Fridays in the summer, which is accurate sometimes. I love my job. I love what I do. And I wanted to get on the air yesterday and talk about Trump's press conference because I thought it was great. And I was frustrated that I couldn't, but I couldn't. There was no way. I was too lightheaded and confused. And I started feeling the lightheadedness and the confusion at the end of the show on Monday. Like the last hour as I was signing off, I was starting to feel a little out of it. But by Tuesday morning, I was like totally out of it. I couldn't concentrate on what anybody was saying. So those were all the early signs. So it's a good thing I got on the IV antibiotics. And like I said, I'm feeling better. And the painkillers, which are glorious. And I don't know if this is cheating or not, because I'm doing dry January, but now I'm in the hospital and I'm getting morphine, Dilaudid, which is, so I don't know if that counts. I mean, I'm not drinking because it's dry January, yet I am getting wonderful painkillers. So I don't know what the rules are, and I don't know if this counts against me because I'm in the hospital and there's no ability to drink. It's not like they have a bar here. So it's not like I can't go to the eighth floor and grab a cocktail. You know what I mean? Just saying. But I've had friends offer to smuggle booze in for me, but I haven't done that. But I mean, theoretically, Bridget's coming later. I could have her bring something, but I'm not going to. I'm going to observe dry January and just have them pump me full of opioids. It sounds like a win for everybody. Gosh. So I'll leave here. I'll leave here having drank less, but be addicted to opioids. So there'll be another statistic. And you'll find me on the streets of Philadelphia buying fentanyl. It'll be great. What could possibly go wrong, Matt DeSantis? What could possibly go wrong?
But on the bright side, you will have succeeded with your mission for a dry January.
I will have succeeded with my mission for a dry January. Because once you're buying street fentanyl, you don't need booze.
I don't think it counts. Yeah.
No, exactly. Thank you. And then the other part of this, too, is that I still won't be able to drive for a little while longer. So I'll be once I get out of here, I'll be back in the Zioli home compound for a few more weeks, which is kind of a bummer because I was really looking forward to getting back behind the wheel. But that's not going to happen anytime soon. The downside is they could go in there and find out that what I have is something they can't figure out, which gets to get an infectious disease doctor involved. And then I could be doing the show Monday from the hospital. But let's hope that we don't get that far. Let's just deal with it day by day. And yes, I do have by far the worst luck when it comes to medical procedures. And I blame Mama Zioli for all this. And she smoked when I was in utero. So I still blame Mama Zioli. It's her fault. Oh, but on the bright side, Barrett Media today came out with their rankings of the top 10 major market afternoon drive shows in the country. We are number 7, baby. Number 7 in the entire United States of America. Look at that. So my thanks to Barrett Media for recognizing the show's success and for beating Vince over in DC. No, I'm just kidding, Vince. I love you. But anyway, that's great. Number seven. And thanks to the Zioli Army for your incredible support. Obviously, that matters in a huge, huge way. They see the audience and the show's growing at leaps and bounds. So that's why I'm here today. So for all your little jokes about taking off on Fridays, how many hosts do the show from their hospital room at an undisclosed medical location? I ask you that. Secondly, how many hosts do the show high as a kite on friggin' morphine? I ask you that as well. All right, good. That's the bottom line. Now, in thinking of the news of the day, I got to tell you, I'm happy with making Greenland great again. I really am. Making Greenland great again. The question, of course, is what does Trump want Greenland for? And I'll tell you, it's a number of reasons, but the first thing is he wants it for the minerals and the strategic position with Russia and China. So the Wall Street Journal had a piece about this today and why it is important. Oh, and by the way, there might be some beeping that goes on. And that's only because the IV drip ends and that sort of thing. So if you hear that or if any medical personnel come in the room, we're just going to roll with it today. We're going to roll with it. And this is an unprecedented show in radio history. And if this doesn't get me a friggin' Marconi, Matt, I don't know what will. I mean, this is the show to win a Marconi. Live from a hospital room in America. Has a host ever done this before is my question. Justin, you're a guy who got a degree. You just graduated. In all of everything you've learned, have you learned anything about a host doing a show from a radio from a hospital room?
I can say with 100% confidence that we are breaking new territory here.
We are breaking new territory. See that? That's what I'm talking about. That's what we do on this show. We go the extra mile. We break boundaries. A boundary-breaking radio show. Matt DeSantis, have you ever heard of a radio show doing it live from a hospital room while on IV antibiotics?
I have not, and I got to be honest. I'm very excited to be a part of this historical moment. I thank you for including me.
Well, I had no choice. I tried to get you the day off, but Frank wouldn't go for it. So we're stuck with you. But no, this is a record-setting show. And the Pennsylvania Broadcasters Association should pay attention to this because again, I don't know if any other host has done it live. And when I say live from a hospital room, I'm literally in scrubs right now. That's why I'm not in video because I didn't want to be in not scrubs, but a hospital gown. And I don't know how to tie it, so my butt. It's kind of hanging out. And I didn't want to. Yeah, I know.
Oh,
I know.
Yuck.
And right. Oh, and during the drive at five, I'm getting a sponge bath during the drive at five. Right from my room while I'm on the air. I paid extra for that. My insurance doesn't cover the sponge bath, but that's an optional thing. These hospitals today, they try to find a way to get more money out of you. So they're like, sir, would you like the optional sponge bath? I said, sure, I would. Of course. What am I, a fool?
Will that be on Zoom?
No, absolutely not. No, I do have a hidden camera set up in the room, but no, it won't be on Zoom.
Perfect. Okay.
Yeah, maybe we'll play it. We'll put it on YouTube later. It depends on how many clicks we wind up getting, And we could do that. That might be fun. And then, of course, there's always, I love the question, too, they ask you before you go to the surgery, they go, and do you have a living will? And I said, well, I don't know why it's called the living will. It's a dead piece of paper. But yes, I do have a living will. Bridget is my power of attorney in case anything goes wrong. And that's always a nice feeling when you know that your life is in your hands of your wife if something goes wrong. Because I know the first thing she's going to say is pull that friggin' plug, pull it out of the wall as quickly as possible. I'm just kidding. She wouldn't do that. She doesn't want to raise those kids alone. What are you, nuts? And at some point, the kids, I'm sure, will come visit as well. But the problem is that Reagan, when she enters any sort of medical facility, it goes immediately on lockdown as they think it's some sort of a terrorist attack. So, you got to be easy with that. Greenland. Why does Trump want to buy Greenland? And we're not going to invade Greenland, although if we did, it would take us about, 15, 20 minutes to conquer Greenland. I mean, do they even have a military? I don't even think so. The Greenland military. It would take about 15, 20 minutes for us to conquer Greenland and Canada. We could probably do both at the same time, actually. I've seen the movie Canadian Bacon. I know what I'm talking about here. I'm an expert. There are rare earth minerals there, but strategically speaking, when it comes to Russia and China, there's a number of reasons why it would be a good idea. Now, Greenland and the Danes are saying there's not a chance in hell we're going to sell it to you. But of course, that's what they're going to say. And Trump won't rule out invading Greenland and taking it by military force. Of course, he's not going to rule anything out because that's Trump's whole MO. As a negotiator, he wants the other person across the table to think he's nuts. He does. That's what he wants. It's like when Chris Wallace asked him in 2015, would you rule out using nuclear weapons? And he said, no, I'm not going to. Why would I rule that out? Why would I rule that out when I want to be unpredictable? That's his whole thing. He likes to be unpredictable. But if you look at that region of the world, Russia is trying to gain more control over that part of the world, as is China. And remember, those two are aligned. There's a whole issue of using that as a strategic launch point. So for all the Democrats who are always screaming about NATO and Putin, I mean, this is funny to me because the Democrats are all screaming about this idea of acquiring Greenland like it's the worst idea in history, with one exception, John Fetterman, who said this is very much like the Louisiana Purchase or the Alaska Purchase. The United States has bought countries buy other pieces of land. I mean, it happens all the time, but there are strategic reasons why we'd want to do this. Greenland has no military. Denmark is responsible for their protection. What are they going to throw? What are they, like Danish cookies? Is that what they're going to use for their protection? I mean, I love those things. After you eat the cookies, you have those tins left over. You know what I'm talking about, right? Start whipping those tins at everybody. I love those cookies. They're great, especially the pretzel ones. They're my favorite. But Trump knows you got to go into a negotiation thinking that everything's on the table so that they think you're nuts. And that's how you do it. That's why you don't rule anything out. Crazy people need to know, and particularly bad guys, they need to know that you're capable of anything. He's not going to invade Greenland, obviously. But for all the Democrats who are screaming about NATO and Putin and Russia, well, it would make sense strategically for the United States to own it, or at least have a military presence there beyond what we just have now with the Space Force, because that would be another deterrent to Vladimir Putin, who does seem intent on acquiring more real estate. So at the same time, you hear Democrats scream about how Putin, if we don't stop him in Ukraine, he's going to invade Poland and then all of Europe. And then the next breath they go, but we can't have Greenland. Well, strategically, it makes a lot of sense to have Greenland if you want to buttress Russia and China, but also because of their oil and natural gas and because of the rare earth minerals, like I said, that are in the your phones, your computers, and everything else that you have. And Denmark has about 20,000 active military members. So they would surrender quicker than France did in World War II. I'm just saying. You know, if you want to buy, I'll give my buddy Frank Troy credit, one of his funniest jokes, which I don't think he made up, is if you want to buy a good used gun, buy a French gun because it's only been dropped one time. And then, you know, you know that gun's never been used other than the time it was dropped. So, you know, you get some drop protection on that and you're good. But the strategic interests of buying Alaska worked out very well for the United States of America, because Alaska, despite what the left wants to keep doing, which is shutting off our ability to drill up there, is an oil-rich state. Hawaii made a lot of sense when we made Hawaii a state, because Hawaii, positioned where it is in the South Pacific, gives the United States the ability to have a military presence out there, which we had with Pearl Harbor, obviously. But having it be a state, having it be acquired by the United States, then makes it so that we can't lose it. You know, that's the difference between doing a lease. And that brings us to the Panama Canal. We originally had a lease on the Panama Canal, which we turned over. Now, again, I don't think Trump's going to invade Panama. I don't think we're going to invade the Panama Canal. But I think what he's using is leverage to try to get a really good deal with the Panama Canal. But with Greenland, it's different. He wants to actually acquire that. That would be the real 51st state. I don't think he really wants to acquire Canada. And again, I don't think we need Canada. Maybe Montreal or old Montreal or old Quebec. Quebec City is really cool, but beyond that, we don't really need it. You know what I mean? But Greenland, if we owned it, if we were to buy it, well, then they can't take it away. It's like they can't take Hawaii away. I mean, the way the political correctness works right now is if Hawaii was not a state, then the native Hawaiians would not want to be part of the United States anymore, because they were taught nothing other than the fact that the United States stole Hawaii and we conquered Hawaii and it was illegal and blah, blah, blah. So that we would lose Hawaii. That's, I think, again, the thinking of why you'd want to have it as a state versus just have a bigger military presence there or something like that. And also, as the politics change, you get some, you know, lefty 100 years from now would say, well, we shouldn't have Greenland anymore. It belongs to the Greens or whatever they're called. What do you call people from Greenland anyway? Greenies? Greenlandiers, Greenlandians, Greenlanders. Greenlander sounds like a cool show, doesn't it? I'm watching Greenlander right now. I'll be binge watching a lot over the next couple of days in the hospital. So if you got any good recommendations for me, I just finished Yellowstone. I'm almost done with Tulsa King. I got to start Goliath. Susie Cool's bugging me about Goliath. And I got to do Lioness. And I want to go back and watch From Hell or High Water, which was written by Taylor Sheridan, who wrote a lot of those other shows. Greenlanders. They're Greenlanders. All right, there you go. Excellent. All right, 855-839-1210. This is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see Dr. Mike today and start the year off right with a brand new, beautiful smile that you deserve. Got some great guests coming up on the show today. We're going to talk about Biden's energy policy, Trump's energy policy, with the guests coming up. Before I go to break, though, I do want to play a clip for you. This is Senator John Fetterman. And again, I'm going to give him a lot of credit because he's, again, sounding incredibly reasonable. It's amazing that this is where we are right now with Democrats, where the bar is, if you just sound a little bit reasonable, it becomes a newsworthy event. It really shouldn't be a newsworthy event if you think about it. What John Fetterman is saying should make sense, but it should be what everybody's saying. And yet it's an outlier comment. So this is him comparing Greenland to the Louisiana Purchase. He was on with Brett Baer, joined alongside Senator Katie Britt, Republican of Alabama, cut number 5.
I think there'll be more of these parts.
Go ahead. Like, there's a lot of talk about Greenland, for example. Now, and I know there's a lot of freakouts, you know, and of course I would never support taking it by force. But I do think it's a responsible conversation if they were open to acquiring it and, you know, whether just buying it outright. I mean, if anyone think that's bonkers, it's like, well, remember the Louisiana Purchase? Oh, I think Alaska was pretty great deal too. $50 million, I think it was. It was referred to as Seward's Folly, and now that was Alaska now. So, I mean, you know, open to having all kinds of conversations as well. And now I don't think it's not helpful to freak out, but some things might work out, some may not, but that's part of ongoing dialogue. But he hasn't even take office in 2 weeks, and, you know, we really need to pace ourselves if we're going to freak out over every last tweet or every last conversation or press conference.
That's a good one, John. I like it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, you know, we are here to work together.
Yeah.
And some things you can agree or disagree, but I think that's how DC works.
There you go. All right. And I should also mention something too. Greenland is icy. Iceland is not. So you want to really vacation in Iceland. I know this because Bridget does some work with Icelandic Provisions, a yogurt company, Skier Yogurt. And Iceland is really green. Greenland is really icy. And I don't think it would take much to conquer it. You know, a couple of flamethrowers, you know what I mean? And I think Greenland would surrender pretty quickly and we'd make Greenland great again. But no, to the point that was made by... see, who is it who made this point about vacationing in Greenland without a passport? I don't think you want a vacation there. I think you want a vacation in Iceland. But I know it's aptly named. Mark Robson says, I sound like I'm back on the sauce. I am back on the sauce. I'm back on morphine sauce. I'm doing the show live from a hospital today with an IV of antibiotics in my arm. First in radio history as I await surgery on my infected foot tomorrow. Yes, that's right. And Matt Rooney was set to fill in for me today, but I decided at the last minute, you know what? We're going to do this show today and make radio history. We'll be right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. We got a lot going on today. Yes, I am. We're getting hollowness. All right, let me try to deal with that real quick. All right, again, this is a first in radio history as we are live from a hospital room right now. And that's what we're doing. We're doing the show today. All right, on X at Rich Zeoli. Let me welcome to the show Faith Burns. Faith is the Energy Policy Fellow at Americans for Prosperity and former policy advisor at the United States Department of Agriculture. And she joins us now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Hi, Faith. How are you doing today?
Hi, I am doing well. And I hope you're doing well, too, seeing as it's from a hospital room.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Thank you very much. Yeah, I got to get some surgery tomorrow. But you know what? It's not till tomorrow. And I got bored waiting around all day with just an IV drip in my arm. So I said, let's do the show, Faith. Let's do this.
Let's do it. All right, we will.
And Biden keeps saying, let's do this. Let's try to destroy American energy independence as much as we possibly can on the way out the door.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And he's doing a smash up job of it now, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. So let's talk about the policy that he announced, I guess, just yesterday or the day before. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Okay, I think it was on Monday, President Biden, on his way out the door, as you indicate, put in motion a document that is to take out of production 625 million acres of offshore area, like in the water, not on land, in the water, take that out of production for oil and natural gas drilling. In other words, that space is something that folks cannot go and explore or drill for oil or natural gas in perpetuity.
In perpetuity.
Yeah.
Now, I know people are going to hear this. No, no, not at all. And I know people are going to hear this, Faith, and they're going to say, all right, but can't President Trump just go in there? If Biden's doing this by executive order, can't Biden just go in there or Trump go in there with executive order and just undo what Biden did?
Well, I heard an interview with President-elect Trump from Monday of this week, and he indicated in that interview that on day one, that's precisely what he is going to do. He is going to reverse what President Biden did. Now, exactly how that occurs, I don't know. There's been a lot of discussion as to whether or not he can do it by executive order, whether or not Congress is going to have to step in some respect and assist in that process. But however it is to be accomplished, I'm sure President Trump and those around him will figure out a way to do it.
Yeah, of course. The problem, though, is that there's going to be lawsuits, right? I mean, if Trump goes in there and tries to undo it after Biden did it, it makes it more complicated because we have to worry about lawsuits and everything else. And I think that that's really the frustration here, is that, you know, even if Trump is able to overturn this, it still is a problem because it delays everything. And that's exactly what Joe Biden wanted to do here. It's what he was trying to achieve.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But just about on everything, there's lawsuits. Just, you know, on anything, anytime any practical regulation was put into place, say during the earlier Trump administration, there were lawsuits challenging that. So litigation is a part of the game now. So we just have to expect that that's what's going to happen. And, you know, people have a right to exercise their rights. So it will play out in the courts. You're probably right on that.
Now, let me ask you what, I mean, in all the years of Biden's presidency, if this was so critical for him to do this, if this was so important to stop, quote unquote, climate change, why does he wait until January of 2025 when he's leaving office to do it if it was such an urgent matter to save the world?
Well, that's interesting. And I've heard some speculation about that. And what was in his mind or in the minds of those who dreamed this up, I don't know. But it honestly appears to be nothing more than a slap in the face in Americans to say, you know, we want to keep your energy prices high and there's nothing you can do about it. So here, have this.
It's it really is amazing. It's so frustrating, too, because it's contrary to everything that President Trump has said, which is drill, baby, drill and frack, frack, frack. And you would think the Democrats would have learned something here, considering that Trump won Pennsylvania, where fracking is a huge issue. And he was out there blatantly saying, you know, we're going to frack, frack, frack. And he won the state. You would think Democrats would learn from this and say, we have to stop giving away American energy independence.
You're right. And actually, Democrats need electricity and energy, too.
Yeah.
So, like now when we have the cold snowstorm and where we all need power and hopefully it doesn't go out at our homes. Sometimes it does. But we need fuel to power the generators that produce electricity. And I don't think the electric grid discriminates between Democratic households and Republican households because we all need the energy.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right about that. That's a great point. When you think about what's ahead, Faith, for President Trump and energy, what would be one of the first couple of ideas you'd like to see the president do as soon as he gets into the Oval Office? And I imagine a lot of that is going to have to be undoing what Biden has already done.
Yes, and there are a great many things that need to be undone. Which is the first one? I'm sure the president-elect and those surrounding him have determined what they figure is probably the highest priority. But those of us in some of the groups around town, around the D.C. area, have been combing through the regulations that were finalized during the last few months of the Biden administration. We, too, are making lists and checking them twice to make sure that we include all of the regulations that we can possibly find that potentially could be subject to a Congressional Review Act review on the Hill. And what that means is basically that Congress is allowed to look at regulations that were finalized during a previous time period in the previous administration and undo those. And that requires a joint resolution of Congress to be sent to the president to be signed. So we're looking through that. There's also litigation that's ongoing in the courts right now challenging some of those rules, and it's yet to be determined whether or not some of those rules that are in litigation may be remanded back to the agencies for the agencies to have a look at them. So there are a lot of moving parts, I will say that, and a lot of us are very busy. In fact, very, very busy.
Yeah, very busy is right. No doubt about that, Faith. And that's a key part. Faith Burns is with me, energy policy fellow at Americans for Prosperity and former policy advisor at the United States Department of Agriculture. It's great to have her on the show today. Faith, let's talk about the electric grid for a moment, because we're watching as more and more states are mandating, or trying to mandate at least, the end of the combustion engine and all these electric vehicles. How reliable is our electric grid at the moment? What do we need to do with regards to that?
Well, I will say it's holding up for the most part in a lot of areas, but a bad snowstorm like we're currently experiencing right now in different parts of the country, or an event in some part of the country, can make that all go away. And mm-hmm. those who are paying close attention to the electric grid know that it's a very tenuous situation, and it's not something that we can take for granted. We have to pay attention to what we're requiring to be put on the grid, and we also have to pay attention to the retirements that we're doing of baseload power generation. And that means some of like the old power plants that were around, like in the 50s and 60s when I was a kid, that burn coal. A lot of those have been closed. And if mm-hmm. you continually close good, solid baseload power generation and try to replace that with intermittent power, i.e. wind and solar, that's not going to work out. Because you have to have stability, not just stability in anything, but particularly the electric grid. Because as you indicated, folks are you know, mandating electric vehicles. There's a huge, huge power requirement from our data centers. So as we just increase the power demand, we're going to have to increase the power supply. And we have to look at everything to meet that demand.
Yeah, we do. And I think the other part of this, too, is nuclear. Right. And
yeah, oh, we're exactly. Seeing, yes.
Yeah. And in Pennsylvania, we're seeing that with Three Mile Island, luckily, fortunately. But it's interesting how big tech is recognizing the need for that, because AI requires so much energy. But there's still a lot of resistance among the left for really anything that isn't wind or solar. And they keep pushing these monstrosity wind turbines off the coast of the Jersey Shore. And they keep pushing for solar panels, too. At the same time, they're doing all these things. They're helping China. And then the other thing is they keep mandating all of these electric cars, which require these rare earth minerals for the batteries. They're getting rid of mineral drilling rights or digging rights, I should say, in certain states in the United States of America. I mean, none of their energy policy makes a lick of sense.
Well, I would agree with you on that. And from someone who grew up in an area where folks did have a lick of sense, we think a lot of this needs to be reversed. We don't need to be outsourcing things to China. We don't need to let China be the number one supplier of all of our batteries and component parts for electric vehicles. We need to make stuff here, and we need to be able to mine things here to make things. And mm-hmm. that's something that I believe the incoming administration is going to focus heavily on. I think the new Congress is focused on that, and we're hopeful that we can get some common sense, practical solutions in place in the next couple of years.
Last question before I let you go, Faith, and that is, where do things stand when you look globally with regards to energy? I mean, I have watched as I've heard Democrats scream about Ukraine and Russia, and yet Vladimir Putin is making a boatload of cash right now selling natural gas to the same countries in Europe that are funding the war in Ukraine. And they're actually giving Russia more money so that they can buy natural gas than they're giving to Ukraine to fight Russia. I mean, it absolutely makes no sense, but Putin's got to be loving that right now.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. And I would say globally, at a time when our enemies are looking at us and looking at every move that we make, it is imperative that we do everything that we can to build up our energy supply, our energy resources, so we can achieve energy abundance. Because as you said earlier, drill, baby, drill, we've got the goods in the ground. We just need to be able to get them out of the ground.
Yeah, well said. Faye, thanks so much for joining us here in Philadelphia. I appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you. Hope you do well during your surgery tomorrow.
Thank you, Faith. Faith Burns from Americans for Prosperity. I appreciate it.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I should also mention to you, when we're talking about all of this, you know, the incoming White House press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, who's fantastic, said that what Biden is doing here, whether it's the border, whether it's energy policy, whether it's any of these other things, is meant entirely to just disrupt Donald Trump's presidency, and it's not going to be successful. It's not going to be successful. But remember, Biden's not calling the shots here. This is all Antony Blinken. This is all the lunatics in the White House trying to ram through their crazy policies on the way out the door. It's not going to work in the end. It really is not going to work in the end. But on that note, they are trying very hard to make Donald Trump the first president of the United States of America who will be convicted felon, as they're still trying to go through with the sentencing of the future president of the United States of America, who becomes president of the United States in just about 12 days, which is outrageous. So we're going to talk about that as well. And I'm excited that you're here today on a show, special edition, live from my hospital room, as I'm getting ready for surgery on my infected foot tomorrow, a first in radio history. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, baby, as we continue along here, the show today, look at this. Oh, Biden's also trying to ban cigarettes at the 11th hour as well. That's right. Banning cigarettes on his way out the door as president. I mean, this guy just doesn't stop. He does not stop. It's unreal. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Thanks for being here today. I appreciate it very, very much. Thanks for all your kind words in advance of my surgery tomorrow, as I'm coming to you live from the hospital. And at first in radio history, Biden administration right now working to effectively ban cigarettes in a gift to cartels, according to experts. The Food and Drug Administration is moving forward with a regulatory rule in the final days of the Biden administration that would effectively ban cigarettes currently on the market in favor of products with lower nicotine levels, which could end up boosting business for cartels operating on the black market. This was said by Rich Marianos, former assistant director of the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. One of my favorite shirts, by the way, is ATF. Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms should be a convenience store, not a federal agency. One of my favorite T-shirts I've ever seen before. I'm sure you can get it probably on the Wildwood Boardwalk, or maybe not. Who knows? Maybe banned. Biden's ban is a gift with a bow and balloons to organized crime cartels. Whether it's cartels, Chinese organized crime, or Russian mafia, it's going to keep America smoking, and it's going to make the streets more violent. The FDA confirmed to Fox Digital on Monday that as of January 3rd, the tobacco product standard for nicotine level of certain tobacco products had completed a regulatory review, but that the proposed rule has not yet been finalized. This is, again, what is just infuriates me about how our government operates. Could you imagine Congress voting to do this? The answer is no. No, because again, it's taking something away from Americans. And whether or not you agree with cigarette smoking or not, it doesn't harm society. It's an individual choosing so. I know there's the people with the secondhand smoke BS, but you know, an individual smokes cigarettes. I mean, like alcohol, for example, contributes to greater societal damage. I heard Malcolm Gladwell on a podcast with Joe Rogan talking about this. He said, I mean, you think about DWIs, you think about like fatal car accidents, you think about domestic abuse, crime. As a society, alcohol contributes to greater societal harms. I'm not advocating for the ban of alcohol either. I'm just pointing that out. But yet the left always goes after cigarettes At the same time, they legalized marijuana in every single way as well. So you can smoke, you can light up a flaming object and inhale it if it's pot, but not if it's cigarettes. And they especially hate cigars. They really do. I don't smoke cigarettes. I have an occasional cigar. I love cigars. I don't smoke cigarettes. But this is ridiculous. It's the same way they try to also ban menthol cigarettes. They're still trying. But they're doing it through this regulatory executive overreach nonsense that I can't stand. I just can't stand it. The Constitution is very clear. Congress has the lawmaking authority, and then the executive enforces the laws. And the president can either sign a bill into law, or he can veto it, and then Congress can override his veto. But we don't do things like that anymore. We have three-letter, four-letter regulatory agencies that create these rules that have the weight of law. And if Congress doesn't like it, Congress has to vote to overturn a rule of the executive. This is not how it's supposed to be. The proposed rule, the tobacco product standard for nicotine level of certain tobacco products, is displaying in the Office of Management and Budget's ROISIS system as having completed regulatory review on January 3rd. As the FDA has previously said, a proposed product standard to establish a maximum nicotine level to reduce the addictiveness of cigarettes and certain other combusted tobacco products when finalized is estimated to be among the most impactful population level actions in the history of U.S. tobacco regulation. At this time, the FDA cannot provide any further comment until it is published. So if this is such a sweeping thing to deal with, U.S. tobacco regulation, why isn't it going through Congress? Why is it going through the FDA? These regulatory agencies are there to see that the laws that Congress passed are enforced. They're not there to make new laws. And Chevron was supposed to rein a lot of this nonsense in. But you see, the bureaucrats, they don't give a damn. Scott Gottlieb, when he was the head of the FDA under Trump, which promptly led to him losing his job, and he's now, and he's a hack, by the way. He's on the board of Pfizer. He's a freaking hack, you know, pushing the COVID vaccine, all the other nonsense. He tried to ban flavored vapes during his time as the FDA. Flavored vapes. There are so many people who have said they were able to successfully quit smoking because of vaping. And for a lot of them, the vaping has greatly reduced their chances of dying of lung cancer. But they like the flavored vapes. And so what did Gottlieb try to do? His FDA administrator tried to ban, I think it was like grape, a couple of others. And that makes no sense. But we back then said, call the White House, let President Trump know what this guy's trying to do. And it ended. Biden administration has been pushing to ban menthol cigarettes under the guise that more black people smoke menthols and that they're dying. And so you got to get rid of menthols, which is racist. But that's what the Biden administration has been trying to do as well. And what Obama did was he gave the FDA the power to regulate tobacco products. But then in 2017, it was that jackass Scott Gottlieb. I really can't stand this guy. Big pharma hack. Who came out and announced that it would seek to require tobacco companies to drastically cut nicotine in cigarettes in an effort to help adult smokers quit. Nicotine, by the way, has a lot of health benefits. Nicotine is a drug. If you ask anybody who does the pouches, the Zyn pouches and everything else, nicotine has lots of different benefits. Tucker Carlson talks about this all the time. Rogan talks about this all the time. But they are hell-bent on this kind of power. And since Congress isn't doing it, they don't have debates. So if you had a debate, if you were trying to pass a law that said we're going to ban cigarettes or ban vapes or ban flavored this or ban that or lower nicotine levels, it would have to go through committee. You'd bring in experts. Experts would testify. And then you could hold your representatives accountable if you felt like they were acting like prohibitionists. Because no matter what happens, whether you agree with something or not, there is an unintended consequence that the black market will always fill a void created by prohibition. Hell, even if you ban Lucy cigarettes or you raise the price of cigarettes, you remember the whole thing that happened with that gentleman who died in New York City? He was selling Lucy cigarettes because New York City's cigarette tax was so high, people couldn't afford packs, so they would buy Lucy's. Same thing that occurs when you've got a marketplace that makes cigarettes so expensive with the idea that you're going to try to lead people to quit smoking. And then they just find Eric Gardner. Thank you, Matt. They find other ways to buy those cigarettes, like at Native American reservations, or they buy them overseas, bring them back to the United States of America, buy them on the black market. And who does that help? It helps criminals. So, you know, if I like to smoke cigarettes and I don't, but if I did, I don't want to pay $15 a pack because they've loaded it with taxes in an effort to try to change my behavior. If I can buy a pack of smokes for $8. So this is another gift, what they're doing here. This decision is being thrown down the public's throat without 1 ounce of thought and preparation. Nobody sat down with law enforcement. Nobody sat down with doctors. No one sat down with any regulators to find out, hey, look, what are the unintended ramifications of such a poor choice? And that's what I'm going to call it, a poor choice, said this ATF agent who spoke before. I'll come back to this. We're going to take a short break. We got a big show for you ahead today. We're going to talk about a lot of things live from my hospital room. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.